This is Libre Quest. My name is Matt. It is the 19th of February, 2020. The first article that I have today from linuxtoday.com. This article is written by Marius Nestor. Canonical makes it easier to download Ubuntu for Raspberry Pi. In December 2019, Canonical published a support roadmap for the latest Raspberry Pi 4 single-board computer on their Ubuntu server operating system and pledged to fully support Ubuntu on all Raspberry Pi boards. With the release of Ubuntu 18.04.4 LTS earlier this month, Canonical has also refreshed the Raspberry Pi page on the Ubuntu.com website to help users find the right Ubuntu version for their Raspberry Pi boards. So that is good news to hear. The next article is going to be from 9to5linux.com, also written by Marius Nestor. Critical sudo vulnerability now patched in CentOS 7 and RHEL 7. Patches for the latest critical sudo security vulnerability have landed in the stable software repositories of CentOS 7 and Red Hat Enterprise Linux 7 operating system series. A critical vulnerability, CVE-2019-18634, was discovered earlier this month by Joe Vinix in the sudo package, a program that lets users run programs in a Unix system with security privileges of another user. The flaw could allow an unprivileged user to obtain full root privileges. But that is good news to hear as well, that they have that patched up over there on CentOS 7 and Red Hat Enterprise Linux 7. So the historical article for today, this is from February 19 of 2005, and this is from linux.com, and there's no attribution for the author here, but I did follow the link, and this article was apparently written by Clay Dowling, and it was actually written on February 15th of 2005, but I found this one for today's date. So I made it the historical article for today. It is titled, Linux as a Publishing Platform. In December of 2004, Clinton Nixon published his role-playing game, The Shadow of Yesterday. The content of the book was nothing shocking, nor was the fact that he published the book himself. Independent authors have been writing role-playing games for as long as there have been role-playing games. Likewise, self-publication is not a new phenomenon. The revolutionary thing in Clinton's case is the fact that only open-source tools were used, from authorship to artwork to page layout. Clinton's choice of tools is slightly unusual for an author. He wrote his text with VI, an editor more traditionally used by programmers than by authors. His choice partially is explained by the fact that Clinton is also a programmer. Because he's a programmer, it also was a natural choice for him to use Python's doc tools to convert the text source to HTML, the format used to publish the book on the web. This copy of the book was released under a Creative Commons license. So that is a really cool article, and I was actually pretty excited to find that. I do like to hear from and hear about people that have dedicated a project or a work of, like, you know, work of art or something, just like their creative, you know, thing that they've decided to do, and be strict about, you know, what they use and what sort of languages they use and that sort of thing. And, you know, I'm a bit like that myself. I guess the best way to describe it would just be a PHP personal homepage project. And I was very determined to be extremely strict about only accomplishing the things that I wanted to accomplish using only PHP, HTML5, CSS3, or I should say PHP 7 standards, and only accomplishing it that way. And it was very, very difficult at times. It took me about 3 years to complete, and, you know, it's, I use it. I have, I think, 7 websites where it's been running in, you know, production for, you know, that entire time. And I made an update system and all that stuff, and I only wanted to use PHP. And, you know, that's just, I'm dedicated that way. And I like to hear from people that are, you know, kind of think the same way or dedicated the same way to doing the same kind of thing, you know, once you get your mind stuck on something. But moving on, what I'm going to be talking about tonight is, the main topic of the podcast is going to be the Vivaldi web browser. Now, talking about licensing, the Vivaldi web browser is built on a Chromium base. However, it is proprietary, free-to-use software. And the reason I'm talking about it is because it runs natively on Linux. And that is awesome. So that is what I wanted to talk about today. And mostly the features and what kind of drew me into the Vivaldi browser was For one, I noticed an article February 9th of this year, just kind of outlining some of the updates that they had made to the web browser and some of the features in regard to the pop-out media players. And, you know, it got me interested. And one of the first features that I noticed was there's a little trash can icon up in the top right of the web browser. And when you click the trash can, it shows you what tabs you just closed. And that's especially useful to me because sometimes I'll read something and I'll close it, or I'll search something and I'll close it, and I'm like, what did I do with that? And I'll have to go sorting through my history trying to find it. Well, this just shows your tabs, and you click on it and you can just pull up what tabs you've recently closed. And it's pretty handy. Pretty handy. I was like, what in the world is this? You know, it was cool. It's a cool surprise to see. So that really got me interested in like doing an overview podcast about the Vivaldi web browser. And that's Vivaldi web browser. So very interesting browser. I have the website pulled up here. If you're watching the video version, it's the Vivaldi.com website. And I'm just basically going to read through what they've published as far as the desktop side of things, just the features, tab management, user interface, and customization. Those are the sections I'm going to be reading. There's a lot of stuff in here that is especially intriguing to me, and I'll comment on that as I read through it here. So under desktop, the first thing I'm going to do is go under features. And before I go any further, actually, I want to say... I'm going here to the very top left of the browser is the Vivaldi logo. And I'm going under help and to about because I want to read the Vivaldi version that I'm using. And that's going to be version 2.11. It's the latest version. I actually downloaded this copy today. And the full version is 2.11.1811.38. So that is the version that I'm using, and I'm using it on an Ubuntu base distro. Okay, so under desktop features, the very first thing here is going to be... Actually, nope, that is not the section I wanted. I wanted tab management. Okay, yeah, that's the first section I wanted. Okay, so the first thing you see here is your tabs. You can either have them appear on the top, on the bottom, on the right, or on the left. So you can customize the position of where your tabs are going to show up. And depending on what you're doing, your screen resolution, how much screen real estate you have, how you want to allocate that, that can be a really thoughtful, really considerate for different workflows and being able to rearrange things the way that you need them. So that's a really cool feature there. The next one is grouping tabs. This is pretty awesome. So you can group your tabs together. If you have a certain amount of tabs that are on a certain subject, you can put them in a group. You can also view your tabs in split screen. Now, the reason that this is really cool is, it's one of the first features that I noticed about the KDE Advanced Text Editor. And if you watch the episode, I can't remember, I think it was episode 23. I read some responses back from Christoph Coleman about some of the telemetry issues, or it's not issues, but some of the advancements being made there as far as the consideration of telemetry and stuff and collection of telemetry for Kate, and so that's what I was reading about. But the reason I reached out to him is because I've used Kate for so long, and one of the cool features in Kate is the split view. Not to mention the terminal and all the different tools that are built into that. So this is cool. The split screen feature is really cool. Very handy stuff there. Let's see. You can manage tabs from the sidebar. It says the window panel gives you a tree style overview of tabs and allows you to search and manage your tabs right from the sidebar. So that's nice. You can go through. You can search through the different tabs that you have open. And then this one is especially nice. You can hibernate your tabs. So meaning if you have a group of tabs that you're not currently using, if you've grouped them according to your work, your personal workflow, you can hibernate those tabs to where your browser's not going to be using however many system resources it's using at the time. You can kind of roll that back a bit by hibernating them. So I'm actually looking at my system activity right now, and I'm using the Plasma desktop, and over on one of my other screens here, I have that full screen. Right now, I have 4 tabs open. I'm using, 102 megabytes of RAM. So what I'm gonna do here, I'm gonna see if I can just hibernate. I'm gonna hibernate all the other tabs, not the other 4 tabs I have open. And let's see if that has any effect on that. Yeah, I'm using less RAM now. So I'm using 99 megabytes. Okay. That's, you know, that if you have 100 tabs, and I have certainly seen that. Now, I don't personally do that. I don't think I've ever had 100 tabs open, but a lot of people depend on having that many tabs open for their business or whatever particular work that they might do. And this feature is seriously great because it's going to affect the speed that they can, you know, get their job done, the speed of their system by being able to free up some system resources. So that's very nice. Okay, so let's go under user interface. Okay, yes, the theming. So choose your style is the heading of this feature. Use ultra customizable themes to give your browser a look that's uniquely yours. Create a schedule to change your browser's theme throughout the day. That's really cool. You know, that's a big consideration these days with so much screen time, is the effect that certain colors, especially blues, that can have on your eyes, you know, can affect your ability to get rest and sleep. So this is really cool that you can change the theme of the browser depending on the time of day. So that's a very nice feature to have. Let's see, add any site to your sidebar. With web panels make checking your favorite chat apps, social feeds, and news sites a breeze. Add as many as you like, rearrange them with drag and drop. You can even drop a specific panel using custom shortcuts. Okay, so that's very nice. And that is the panel that's located on the left side of the browser, on the left side of the screen. Now, I'm sure, under here we have a little gear settings, and it looks like that is, of course, going to be customizable as well. I'm sure that's going to be customizable. As far as the location, let's see here. Home page. Oh my, there's so many options. Now, as a longtime KDE and now Plasma user, when something is this customizable, it makes me feel pretty much at home. You know, as far as the GUI side of things go, I like to customize things. I like to tweak things. I like to be able, and even if I don't use the features, I like to have that option available to me. I like to have that level of, you know, control over my interface and you know, just the system and being able to customize and stuff. So anyway, yes, that's the panel over there that is talking about. Okay, so an adaptive interface. Vivaldi adapts to you, but it also adapts to the sites you visit. The interface can pick up on the main color of the website you're viewing and use it as an accent color. So yes, that is very cool. Let me open up a tab here. I'm going to go over to let's try Bing. Okay, so Bing has changed the color of the browser to a gray color. So that's cool. So yes, it changes. And I'm actually wondering, because I have what's happened here? I've just noticed that, well, you know what? I typed in a letter B, and on the video side of things over here, it took me to a different, to a camera view. So I lost my browser view there. Okay. Anyhow, let's see. I'm getting sidetracked. I do that quite often. Okay. So where was I? Take a position on your toolbars. I'm just going to get right back into it. That threw me off there. Okay. So yes. Oh no, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about the browser changes color depending on the website that you're visiting. And, that's a feature that I think it was the Unity desktop. That was one of the features that they had rolled out. When you change your desktop background, the panel on the side picked up on the majority of the color there, and it changed the panel according to that. That's kind of what that feature reminds me of. It's cool. But I was thinking, as a web developer, I have often used custom style sheets to, you know, colorize the toolbar that's on the top of the window for mobile and for desktop, depending on if the browser has support built in for that. You know, so I'm wondering how that will interact with this browser. I'm not sure if that's like an override thing, or I'm not really sure how that works, but you know, that's a question that I have about this. So, okay, so the next header is going to be take a position on toolbars, customize the placement and appearance of the address bar, bookmarks bar and status bar in Vivaldi, place them at the top or bottom of the screen, adjust their size, and with the user interface, zoom or hide them altogether. So more customization. That's always awesome in my opinion. The next header is going to be content comes first. Use reader view to focus on what matters. The content, cut down the clutter on any page and enjoy reading again with adjustable font size and color schemes. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move over to customization. All right. So this header under customization, it's your browser. Create a workflow that's uniquely yours with customizable shortcuts, gestures, and behaviors you won't find anywhere else. Vivaldi adapts to you, not the other way around. Okay. Feel at home. Change the look and feel of your browser with endless design options using themes, a fully customizable start page, and more. You can finally make a browser that belongs to you and no one else. And this last one, extensions work too. We aim to provide as much built-in functionality as possible, but you can also fine-tune things further using extensions from the Chrome Web Store. Okay, so I think that's going to wrap it up on the overview here of the Vivaldi web browser. But this web browser is definitely very interesting to me. You know, it caught my eye just because maybe it's because I do some web design and that kind of stuff and graphic design and those kind of things that, you know, this is a project that I hadn't looked into and I really wanted to look into it. And, you know, what I'm finding here is very compelling, and this may be something that I stick with here. I'm not sure yet, but, you know, it's looking really good. I really like the Vivaldi browser. I like the things they're doing. I like the customizability. And, you know, I like all the considerations that they've put into this. This definitely is worth checking out. If you haven't checked out the Vivaldi web browser, I do recommend it. Okay, well, that's going to do it for now. As always, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you want to support me, you can over on Subscribestar and Patreon. Links for the articles will be in the show notes. And you can visit LibreQuest.org under episodes for where to find the show. And thank you for listening. And until next time, this has been LibreQuest.